to in chapter 32. And we're going to do starting 78, but first I just want to finish up the discussion yesterday on 77, subsection Ayin Zayin. Just to clarify the way it works here, the tefillin, basically, we see it closed. We see the tefillin closed. We don't see it open. But it's basically made up of two pieces. The box is one piece. And then the box itself, the square box, has four, in the shalrosh, it has four opening, four compartments in which you put in the four portions of tefillin. And in the shalyad, you put in one rolled up portion of the four portions of tefillin in it. Then you have the lid, the cover, that covers it up. That's the bottom piece. So you have a bottom piece, which is sort of the cover that covers up the opening, that goes on the bottom. But then, that bottom piece goes beyond the box, where the box ends, so that later on it folds over, and that creates the place where the strap goes through. That bottom piece is called the titura. That's called the titura. That's like a bridge. Earlier they said it in Sif Samachvav in Sif Samachvav. That's called like a bridge. It goes underneath. It's like a flat, but then it's folded over. And that fold, in where it goes, that's called the mabarta. That's where the strap goes through. So here, what he was saying over here is that the actual box that you have also needs to have flaps going out from that box, so that the actual box that you put it filling in, at the ends of it, you need a flap going back, so that when you take the bottom piece, the titura, and you fold it over, that flap that comes outside of the box itself should be in between the two pieces, between the fold, so that when you're going to sew, you're not going to be only sewing the mabarta, you're not going to be sewing the titura, the mabarta, but you're actually going to be sewing the actual box, because that's an extension from the box itself. He says the sewing, when we talk about sewing, putting together, we actually need to sew the box. But we're sewing the flap that comes out, that extends in between that fold that the mabarta, and once you fold it and you created that the titura, and you created that mabarta, so you have a fold over, so you have that flap going in between that. Today it's made very neatly, it just follows one the other, but then he proves it by saying the square, if this we see that the square of the map of the titura is separate from the square of the tefillin itself. Each one needs to be squared itself. Because if you look at your tefillin, you will see that that niche that's by the, where the strap goes, ends that square. If you have a, here, let me show you. You want to show your tefillin, or I'll take a tefillin from there. So if you look over here, see, this is the titura, the bridge. You see? And this is where it folds over back, so for the strap to go through. This is called the mabarta. But yet, over here it has to be squared. You see, it's niched out over here, so that this is square. Now this is a square, right here is a square, and this has to be squared. The titura has to be squared, besides the fact that the box itself has to be squared. Therefore, as you see, this is the inner box. You have a piece extending in between. So when you're going to sew, you're going to be sewing it onto that piece itself, so then it will be considered like the box itself is being sewn together. Okay, so that's as far as the section 77 is concerned, how the sewing is made. So now we'll do section 78, Ayin Ches 78. So he says like this: Yesh machmidim. There are those that are stringent. Sheim nifsak chut hatfira beemtza hatfira. What happens if the string, the thread that you're sewing with, tore in the middle of the place where you're sewing? It tore. Yitlenu kulo misham. He should take it entirely from there. So if it's ripped, so you can't use a ripped thread. You have to remove the whole thing, I guess, and start over again with a new thread. You have to go back and sew with another thread. Since it got cut in the middle of the sewing, so you see that it's not a good thread. Bevadai einei chozok. It must be not a very strong thread. V'soifei livsoik. And it's destined to be broken, because it's just breaking. V'choloimet livsoik yiposuchu. Anything which is about to be broken is considered as if it's broken already. In other words, so it's not a quality. Sewing, you have to sew with thread. A thread by definition means something that holds. But if a thread that doesn't hold, that breaks, then it's not a thread. So this would not qualify, because we see that this is not really a good thread. Ve'ineklum. And it's not, so it's nothing. So you can't tie it, you just got to get rid of it. You got to go to get to a better piece, so you got to start over again. But what happens if you started threading and then you fell short? There's not enough thread over there. So what do you do? But what happens? But if it was a short string, the thread was short, and it wasn't that it was broken, he can complete with another strand. You don't have to do. He says, furthermore, you don't even have to tie it together. He says, you can sew, and then you can go take another piece. You don't have to tie it together. And you can continue sewing with it. There is no halacha that the thread needs to be one continuous thread. There's no thing as one continuous thread. You know, they tighten it. You know, there's a way of keeping it tight. I think the way it's done is that each stitch they tighten separately, independently. So they make a stitch, and then they sort of tighten it together, and then they make the next stitch. So it's not like one continuous. It's not, if it looses in one place, it's not going to loosen the whole thing. It's only isolated to each stitch. Yeah, well, there's no reason to cut it, but you know, if you have a short one, you could do it. That he allows that.
So how do you know that original piece wasn't part of the piece that broke? I mean, in other words, they could have been making a big string, and while they were making it, it broke, and then they. I'm just saying.
Okay, what here is actually telling you to use a totally different string, not the same string. He says, if you used a one string and that string tore, don't use it for that. That batch is no good, or that string is no good. Go ahead and change it to another string. So he's telling you, just use something else, because this shows that this is not a good string. In section Ayin Tes 79, subsection 79, he says like this: the kesher shel tefillin, the knot of the tefillin. Again, halacha l'moshe mis Sinai. There is a tradition, a rule that was passed to Moshe on Sinai. He was told that, and that was passed to us by tradition. That after he placed the strap into that mabarta, that passage place, which is in the tefillin, yase kesher kimin dalet bishel rosh, on the head tefillin should make like a dalet. No, we're talking about that strap that goes here, and on the ukimin yud bishel yad, and on the hand there should be like a yud. Lehashlim, that would sort of complete oisiyos, the letters of shin dalet yud, that's God's name, shin dalet yud, im hashin shel bishel rosh, together with the shin, as we said before, that you have in framed inside of the tefillin, the two shins, one on three and one on four, on both sides. So together with the shin, you have the dalet. So you have over here in the back here, they have a dalet. This is on the back here, you have a dalet. And on the hand, that knot is a yud. So together it makes up the words shin, dalet, yud. And again, there's various different styles of knots that we make. Ashkenaz, Sfarad, Chabad. Different types of the knot. But the toiv lezoir lahashlim Hashem kisidre. It's best to be careful that we make Hashem's name complete in the order. Letters come shin, dalet, yud. So, shemitchila yase hashin. First you make the shin, that's the in on the tefillin. V'achkach hakesher shel rosh, then you do the knot of the head. V'akesher shel yad, achakach, and then you do the knot for the hand afterwards. That is kiseder oisiyos Hashem. That is the order of the letters of the Shem's name of shin, dalet, yud. So you make first the shin, which is in the tefillin, and the shirosh, the dalet of that knot, and then you make the knot on the hand.
When a man straps it around their hand, isn't there a tradition that sometimes this makes a shin?
But that's besides. We're not right now. We're talking about the actual knots on the tefillin themselves.
To continue what you're saying, it says Shaddai, isn't that in the...
But that's an additional, but this is actually in the tefillin, the knots, and not that you make every day what you put it, this is engraved. Part of the shin is in the box itself, the dollar is in the knot, and the yud is, and that's besides what you do.
So you're talking the manufacturing versus the use.
Yeah. V'akesher shel roish... Ein tzorich sheyiyah nirek min dalet elo mitzad chutz. He says the knot that we're talking about of the head that you say looks like a dalet only needs to appear that way towards the outside, but v'loy mitzad pnim sheklapi harish, but not the part that's on towards the head that is sitting on the back of your head. That doesn't have to look like a dalet, as you'll see. That's the knot is over there, but it's the outside that looks like a dalet. But those that have the tradition to make it look like a dalet from both sides, not just from one side, and that's the different tradition. Now, finally, subsection 80, pay, sif pay. That's subsection 80. The last sif, the last subsection in a long, long, long chapter. So he says, "V'noyagim lahavir oir al habayis shel yad l'roichav hazroya." So it says that there is a tradition to put a piece of a leather. He says a piece of leather over the hand tefillin. If you noticed, and we a lot of our they have a, like a little box. It's not leather in our case, but over here is that there's a tradition to put it. And they put it on the width of the hand. And the reason is, because they're high. And they are actually short. Sort of means they're high and maybe they're narrow. And you place it under the garments. In some places, they actually cover it up. They put their shirt over the tefillin, over the shoyad. And they would get ruined under the garment, in the corners. So, La'aber aleim ritzua, that's why it's traditional to put over them a strap, ritzua zu, this strip of, I guess, leather, lechaskon, to strengthen them. And in some places they don't have the tradition to put this over. So that's various different traditions. And I've seen also in our tefillin, some people will keep it on for the whole davening. That sort of protects the corners and everything else. It's not as some places they take it off for the davening. And one of the things is that you want to be very careful is the square and that the corners stay intact. So that's the way it, because he says it about the clothing, but it can actually rub against your clothing. And the headpiece is on the top, so that's open in the ear. That doesn't come in contact with anything else. But being on the hand, it's, you know, against your body, against your clothing, against various different things. So it could quicker, more chance for it to rub off. So a protective cover is what we use in order to protect them. Okay, so this finishes chapter 32, and we shall continue with chapter 33.